All right, I trust everybody's doing okay. You know, this pandemic's kind of getting closer to home, but we're gonna overcome. All right, we're gonna overcome. So, just a few announcements here this morning. If you're serving next month in September, which starts Tuesday, just make sure you get your MIAs together in there and put in your offering. Your COVID-19 guidelines are in your blue paper. If you didn't get one, there's one out front. There's also a calendar on the back for September, okay? And remember, on giving, we have it online. If you go through our website, you can do that. Or if you would like to donate in our sanctuary, we have the offering envelopes and a basket, I think, on both sides here. We can't hand those out to you, but we can... let you take those. So I just want to let you know that. Again, as we have in the notes here, COVID-19 on the increase. I've had some people around the workplace and out and around, and restaurants closed down, different things, and we know people that know people that know people. Might be related to some people that have the virus. So be careful. Keep your eyes open. We'll have any church closure that we might have would be on Facebook, okay? With that, I do want to just do a quick scripture on giving, on tithing and so forth, and we'll have a little video again, and then we'll get started this morning with the sermon. But in Philippians 4:7, I always think about Paul here as he's talking to the church of Philippi. He says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation, I am to be content." Say that with me, content, content. "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. And I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." So when we give, when we purpose to give, it's important to know that God knows, he wants us to honor him and worship him with our tithes and offerings. But it blesses others that this church is affiliated with our missionaries, our pastor, and all the things that we do with B-Town and our community. And I just want to encourage you in that you can receive a blessing just by giving. And God calls us to do that. So with that, we'll go ahead and have a little video here. Drop the lights and we'll do that.
I believe there is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. I have a hope found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace. Faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Make way through the waters, walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions, bring dry bones to life.
in you. Release your love inside of me. Unleash your power for all to see. Spirit, come and fall on us. Over and Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful. Your word's unstoppable. All things are possible in you. God of exceedingly, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think. Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful. Your word's unstoppable. All things are possible in you. Make way through the water. Walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for. What you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions. Bring dry bones to life. Do what you are famous for. What you are famous for. I believe in you. Yeah, I believe in you. There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness. My fortress, over and over.
Can you hear me now? All right. Whew. All right. Pastor asked me some time ago to fill in for him today. He's out visiting his dad, whose 94th birthday. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow. But our prayers are with him as he and Diana, as they travel and as they come back. Today I want to talk about something that probably has been part of my mindset, my philosophy in dealing with difficult times, dealing with the information overload that comes in our everyday lives, maybe something I've tried to instill in our children, and it's something called FUD. It's not Elmer Fudd, it's FUD, F-U-D, and some of you may have heard about FUD before. I don't think it's originally mine, but FUD is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. I do not have FUD in my life, or I work out of it as much as possible. So today I want to talk about a little bit about FUD, and I want to talk about how you might identify FUD in your everyday life. We'll talk about the meaning of FUD. We'll compare the temptation of Adam and the temptation of Jesus in the context of FUD, and then I want to present some practical antidotes for FUD. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, that these words that I present, that they will be heard as if they're coming directly from your Spirit. Lord, that you would apply them in the hearts this morning. Lord, that you would teach me what I need to know. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we can take from this direction and guidance for our lives, Lord, that we might be better servants to you, and Lord, that we might spread your light to those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to start a little bit in an interesting place, because I think that We may be in the end times, we may not be, but we need to have our eyes open. I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles with you, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, we will have a fair bit of scripture here today, but I'm going to try to stay on topic so we can get done in a decent time. And 25 minutes to 12, we'll see what we can do. So 2 Thessalonians 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 and verses 9 and 10. So he says, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, do not be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed." And this is important. "Either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God." And then verse 9, "The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and so be saved." I always remember what Diana says about her father. He has a statement, "If these aren't the end times, they may be your end times." We need to be vigilant in what we believe in these difficult times. And we're bombarded constantly with information that we have to choose what we're going to do with it, how it's going to affect our thinking and our actions. Let's go to Matthew 24. Jesus talks about the end of the age. We'll look at verses 3 through 14 and 23 through 27. Because his disciples are curious, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" We probably all have that question, right? "And Jesus answered them, 'See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places." And he doesn't say it here. Hurricanes, derechos, all those things, right? "All of these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." And Jesus warns us of some pretty tough stuff there. And I question, are we ready for that? "And many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." Are we seeing lawlessness today a little bit? We're seeing the beginnings of that. Don't think that God is surprised by that. "But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And verse 23, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand, so that if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man." So what I see in these stories, in these pictures of the way it's going to be in the end times, I see a difficult time, but I also see a ton of deception, misinformation, disinformation trying to distract us to go this way or that way, trying to lead our minds in directions and to get us to feel certain ways and to act on those feelings. Now, I said we talked about what FUD was, and I'm going to get back to that, but I want to talk about disinformation. False information, which is intended to mislead, especially propaganda issued by a government organization to a rival power or the media. We've heard that. We probably all know what disinformation is. We've probably seen it. We've been victim of it, possibly. Did you know disinformation as a word didn't exist in our dictionaries prior to the early 1980s? Disinformation is a subset of misinformation, and it also may be unintentional. But the word came from a Russian word, dezinformatsiya. I don't know how to pronounce that. But it was derived from a KGB black propaganda department. Joseph Stalin coined the term, giving it a French-sounding name to claim it had a Western origin. Russian use began with Special Disinformation Office in 1923. Disinformation was defined in the Great Soviet Encyclopedia as false information with the intention to deceive public opinion. Now, where would somebody get the idea to do that? Operation Infection, with a K, was a Soviet disinformation campaign to influence opinion in the U.S. that the U.S. invented AIDS. And the U.S. did not actively counter disinformation until 1980, when a fake document reported the U.S. supported apartheid. So it did not appear until the 1980s, and then the United States also, government has used it against Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. So disinformation has become now part of our society, but it is not an old thing, or not a new thing. It's an old thing, because it happened all the way back at the beginning of mankind. Now, I talk about FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Okay? That's not even a new thing, but it is a disinformation strategy, interestingly enough, used in sales, marketing, public relations, politics, cults, and propaganda. I didn't make this up. That came right out of Wikipedia, if you believe it. But FUD, in my mind, has always been the disinformation. And it's not just in those areas. So the phrase dates to the early 20th century, is used in the 1970s to describe disinformation in the computer hardware industry. And so, for example, I'll give you two examples of disinformation and FUD from the computer industry. IBM. The idea, of course, was to persuade buyers to go with safe IBM gear rather than with competitors' equipment. The implicit coercion was traditionally accomplished by promising that good things would happen to people who stuck with IBM, but dark shadows loomed over the future of competitors' equipment or software. Microsoft, from their own statements, what the user is supposed to do is feel uncomfortable. And when he has bugs in the software, suspect that the problem is Dr. DOS versus MS-DOS, Microsoft DOS, which is an old software, and then they go out and buy it. Interestingly enough, Microsoft paid a settlement of $280 million because of their FUD disinformation campaign. So I give you examples, but in reality, this has been going on in our lives, and with the rise of the internet and mass media, global distribution of ideas, knowledge, we have more information coming at us constantly than we've ever had. And it's very difficult. Our kids may be more adept at handling it than we are, but they're at least receiving it, but they may not know if they don't have their grounding in what God says. So, fear. Let's talk about fear. An unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. Okay, we've all probably had some fear. It's not just fear maybe when you watch a scary movie, but maybe you were afraid you were going to hit somebody with your car or you're going to fall off a cliff. Something that if you start to listen to, and I Googled this, just to see how many news stories would come up about the phrase amid fears. Listen to these news stories, and I've got dozens of pages. I could have gone on forever. Doctors urge people to get flu shot amid fears of potential twindemic. The Guardian says, Labor calls for environment watchdog amid fears. Coalition will rush legislation. The Gulf battens down amid fears tropical storm Laura will hit. The UN calls for an end to crippling Gaza blockade amid fears of new tensions. California fires cover 400,000 hectares amid fears of new spread. Amid fears. Amid fears. You're pumped every day about fear. You're pumped every day about fear, unless you live under a rock. And I've been trying to get under my rock. I'm a little bit big. I got to get a bigger hole. But if you don't live under a rock, you're getting pumped with fear. Because that's what this world wants, is fear. They want you to have that feeling. They want you to be destabilized. It redirects our focus to our feelings rather than facts. How do you know what's true when you hear these things? Amid fears. Who's fearing? Who fears what? What's causing the fear? What are you going to do about it? Fear's a liar, first of all. And fear causes us to question our identity. Who do you belong to? Who's in charge? Who's your daddy? The fear of man lays a snare. This is Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord is safe. Uncertainty is the lack of sureness about something or someone, especially about an outcome or result. So I kind of categorize that as mostly worry due to not knowing the future or not being able to control it. And if you take an inventory of your life, there are not very many things you can honestly say you control. You think you can. But worse yet is the deception that you actually know what's going to happen. See, we don't have foreknowledge. God does. He knows the future, and he controls the future. We think we know. We can predict with reasonable certainty, we believe. But really, it's an uncertain situation. So we might place false hope in our certainty, our apparent certainty. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, as for the rich in this present day, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So even the things that we have in our pocket, the money, whatever it is, our house, our car, our family, our stuff, whatever, there's no certainty in that. There's certainty in God, though. And doubt. Now, these are maybe we're splitting a little hairs here, but doubt is a little different than uncertainty. Doubt is a feeling of disbelief or a lack of conviction. I think it's knowing a fact but choosing not to believe it or act upon it. So you really know you should do the laundry now because you won't have time later, but you don't act on it, and then you end up, you know, this is just a dumb example, but you end up not getting it done. Or maybe you need to pay your bills, or you need to do this or that, but you don't know that the outcome's really going to happen that way. You don't believe it. In James 1:6-8, he talks about doubt. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. So he's asking from a God who gives liberally. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt are not the way God's called us to live our lives. We don't live in fear. We might think there's uncertainty, but we don't have to worry about the outcome. And we can know what God says he's going to do. There's no doubt. Now, we have to remember that in this life, we are bombarded by all of these things constantly. We're pumped up with it. But 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." He's out to get your soul. He's out to hurt God if he can, and the only way he can get to God is to try to get to God's people. He loses at the end of the day, but he seems not to get it, so he's going to try to hurt God. He hurts us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll look at verses 2 through 6 and 12 through 15. So Paul's speaking to the Corinthians. He's written to them, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." He's talking to the church. He's wanting to bring us to God, the bride to the groom. "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles, the false prophets. Even if I'm unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way, we have made this plain to you in all things." What he's saying is, he's spoken the truth. It's simple. Don't go off and believe the FUD. "And what I'm doing, I will continue to do." Verse 12. "And in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do, for such men are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." So you have to be careful at every angle. Don't trust me today. Read the Word. This is it. This is it. FUD is real, but it's not so much about computer technology or sales or marketing. It is not so much about fake news or Russia hacking our election. It is really about the enemy trying to deceive us in order to lead us astray from realizing God's purposes in our lives. He wants to destabilize us or destroy us if possible. John 10, we recognize these verses, John 10, 7 through 11. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." We're the sheep. "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." That's support, sustenance, life. "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So I want to compare the temptation of Adam with the temptation of Christ. The temptation of Adam, the verses are Genesis 3, 1 through 13. And then we'll look at the temptation of Christ in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And this is going to be in the context of FUD. I want to read quickly through the Genesis account, and then I want to go back and look at three places where you can pick out fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So we're going to talk about the fall. And when I talk about the fall of man is disobeying God the first time, committing the sin, and because of that one sin, it's transmitted to all mankind. That's the original sin. It changed us permanently. And God made a way in Christ. Thank God it went to everyone, because when Christ died, he died and paid all of that in one man. Didn't have to have multiple people do it. But anyway, that's another day. So let me read this story, and you're very familiar with it, I'm sure. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I wonder what God sounds like walking in the garden. Is it a big, or is he, I don't know, but anyway, I want to know someday. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So, that's the story. A lot of mixed up stuff in there. But we know the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field. All right? FUD comes from crafty and deceptive people. And from not just people, principalities and powers of this world. So, in those first verses, he says to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of the tree of the garden'?" You see, he instilled doubt there. Did God actually say? It's not an uncertainty. The fact was, God did say it, and she knew what he said. But Satan increased and inserted some doubt. Right? Doubt. She didn't have any faith, it appeared. And then we look at verse 4. Sorry, Clayton, I'm trying to give you a heads up on that. "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat with your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil.'" Well, now he's instilling some uncertainty. He's creating some half-truths in here. No truth, but half-truths. He's creating the uncertainty. So there's doubt. We already had doubt in verse 1. And then we have some uncertainty in verse 4. And we'll go to verse 10. And this is pretty obvious. "And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.'" Now there's fear. Pretty obvious. He said fear. But the real question I think is in this is, what fear what? You see, he changed, but he didn't realize that his identity was defined by God. And so he thought now he was naked as a man and he needed to have some protection. He forgot his identity of God. He was naked. He was afraid. But why was he afraid of God? He did not recognize the love that God had for him. So I don't really think God was going, I think he was, you know, just kind of rustling down the path like any of us would. And you could tell it was God. But it wasn't evil. It was good, a good father looking for his children. But they were afraid. So see, they failed in FUD. They failed. They failed FUD. Now, let's Let's go to the temptation of Christ. Now, Satan, he did a pretty good job on them. But he has to step up his game with Jesus. So let's look at the temptation of Christ here, verses 1 through 13 of Luke 4. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Verse 5, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Devil getting good, isn't he? Trying hard, using scripture against the word of God. And Jesus answered him, it said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So, where do we find FUD in this temptation? Well, verse 4 is the first place. And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." You see, the devil was trying to create uncertainty in Jesus' life, but Jesus knew where the source of his power was. You live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's the rest of that verse. And Jesus knows it. So does the devil. So truth trumps uncertainty. And in verse 8, he's trying to give him all this authority in verse 7, 6, and 7. Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." You see, Satan was trying to create doubt in Jesus, in who his authority and his glory were given. Jesus came back with faith, trusting in the Lord, and worshiping him and serving him. That's the faith that counteracts doubt. And then finally, Satan really pulls out everything he's got in verse 9 and 10 and 11. In 12, Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." You see, Jesus knew who loved him. He knows his identity, and you don't test that because God said it. He said it, and that's who you are. So when God says who you are, that's who you are. Not what FUD says. Not what somebody down the street says. Some bully at school or some troublemaker. What does God say you are? Love trumps fear. So the antidote to fear is the love of God. And I say that, and I want to make sure I'm very clear. Knowing the love God has for you in your identity in you abide in him, you know who he is. So in Romans 5, 1 through 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." God's love has been poured into our hearts. You have to know that to get out of fear. And love is from God. 1 John 4:13 through 19. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us. It's identity. Because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love, and whoever abides in his love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And I could go on and on. I'm not going to. Uncertainty. The antidote to uncertainty is the truth of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, probably my favorite verses. I've told Carrie I want them preached at my funeral. I'm trusting that I'll die before she does, but anyway. These are my verses. Therefore, having this ministry, the mercy of God, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. You see, when the truth is being proclaimed, it resonates. You don't have to mess around with it or have cunning or underhanded ways to present the truth. It's the truth. And your spirit testifies to that truth with the Holy Spirit. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Truth and the gospel. You have to take it in. You have to meditate on it to get through the uncertainty. Now, the antidote to doubt, I think, is pretty clear. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll read a very familiar verses in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Faith is not eyesight. It is not hearing. It's trusting in what God has told us through his word, testified with his spirit, applied to our lives. Please stand as we close. We must not live with FUD in our lives. You're bombarded, you're pumped full of it every day. Start looking for it. Amid fears, uncertainty, doubt, what all of this, what is it? It's not, it is a disinformation campaign of the enemy to try to deceive. Focus, be patient, meditate. The love of God draws us closer to him and away from fear. Fear is a natural feeling, but his love confirms our identity in him. His love causes us to desire the truth of his word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Meditation upon his word and obedience to his commandments will strengthen and refresh us in times of uncertainty. When what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears causes us to doubt what God has said, or our relationship with him, or our identity in him, We must use our faith, which he's given to us. Faith comes from his love for us and our meditation upon the truth, the Word of God. The last verse, John 5:5. Who is, this is a rhetorical question, who is it that overcomes the world? Except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you want to overcome the world? Then you have to overcome FUD. And you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So I pray today that you will be encouraged in your fight to eradicate FUD in your life. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt is a destructive thing. If you do detect the presence of FUD in your thoughts, your words, or deeds, please remember God loves you with an everlasting love. You are what he said, you are who he says you are. The truth of his word brings stability in an uncertain season. Putting your faith in God in every circumstance is the only sure salvation. And don't let the enemy kill, steal, or destroy your hope in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day again, for the opportunity to come together to fellowship in your house. Lord, amid times of great uncertainty in our schools, in our workplace, in our communities, our nation, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would be strong in your spirit in each one of our lives. Show us, Lord, your presence. Lord, help us to know your love, your great love and steadfast love for us, that we would not have the fears. Lord, as we trust in you and we meditate upon your word and we delight in your precepts, Lord, we pray, Lord, that the uncertainty will pass. And Lord, we'll look over the uncertainty and look to you as our anchor and our rock, our refuge in a time of trouble. And finally, Lord, as even doubt comes upon us, Lord, check our spirit. Help us to see that truth is still true. It's always going to be true. You're not going to change. Lord, we want to be overcomers, world changers. Let us not be tossed to and fro with every wind and wave, but let us be solid and connected to you. Let us be beacons of light with truth and hope to those around us, and no more FUD. Pray this in Jesus' name.